Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. I'm joined today by a state champion from Wisconsin, Muskego High School, the head coach, Ken Krause. Coach, it's great to have you here.
Thank you. It's a big honor to be on here, and appreciate you reaching out to Muskego.
Coach, I'm going to be sensitive to your time because I know you're out there learning ball right now, actually at the Wisconsin Coaches Association Clinic. So we'll get going right away here. And Coach, I always like to start with learning a little bit about you and finding out what's your why. What was it that really drove you into this profession and started you in coaching?
My senior year of high school, I wasn't sure if I wanted to be a teacher or an accountant. And I ended up working at a playground my senior summer with kids from 5 years old through middle school. And I just loved it. And I'm like, man, I get paid to work with kids. During the day I worked at a playground, I coached a bunch of little teams for baseball. And I just fell in love with doing it. And I could just tell that was kind of my niche, maybe what I was kind of put on earth to do. So I made a decision then to become a teacher and a coach. And that was kind of the turning point for me was doing that in my senior summer.
Coach, as you were on your coaching journey and on your way to becoming a head coach, what were some of the key lessons you learned along the way?
I think the biggest thing that my journey is just the coaches I had such great relationships with me and cared so much about me. And that was a very powerful impact. I lost my dad in high school. He passed away, and my coaches really became my father figures. And so that was a big driving influence in me wanting to be a teacher and a coach. And I wanted to have that same impact on kids. You know, a lot of times when kids get into high school, they don't always maybe quite listen to their parents quite as well. And they might listen to their coaches a little bit more. So just, I know for me personally, that was a big impact on me, that the people that were my mentors, my coaches in high school. And I just wanted to get, you know, I just felt like that was a gift that I had as well. So I just wanted to get into teaching and coaching. And that was a big lesson I learned, just the way I was treated by those mentors. And that kind of became a fabric for me. And one of my favorite parts of coaching is just the relationship building with the kids. And then obviously, you know, once the kids know that you care about them, they're going to run through a wall for you. And so that was probably one big life journey lesson for me.
Coach, early on, as you get started as a teacher, you know, 20-something years old, you're not exactly that father figure to him. In some ways, maybe a bigger brother.
Right.
In some ways, a lot of coaches struggle with that, you know, that line, that player-coach relationship. How did you navigate that? How you know, was it for you early on building those relationships and being able to be an influence in those kids' lives?
You know, I remember a former player of mine who's now one of my coaches. He got interviewed, they had an article in the paper, and he kind of summarized me probably really, really well, especially early in my coaching career. You know, basically, you know, Coach Krause's, you know, a friend off the field, but he's the first guy that's going to give you a kick in the butt if you need it. So kind of reaching that balance of, you know, being a mentor, being someone that they can come to and talk to, but at the same time, there's still that separation of, hey, if you're screwing up, you know, we're going to deal with that as well. And I just thought that, I said, my Coach Smith, a former player of mine, just kind of hit on the head, you know, he's going to talk to you as a friend off the field, but on the field, he's going to give you a kick in the butt you need. And I think that's just kind of how I handle that as a young coach, kind of had the balance of both worlds.
Is that still something that holds true today, or has there been, I guess, an evolution, especially as, you know, the dynamics of the ways we communicate today? You see kids with their heads buried in their phones, maybe more than they are looking you in the eye. Have you evolved in any ways to build those relationships?
Yeah, it's very interesting. I just think the younger generation is a lot more into texting. Sometimes that seems to be the vehicle at times to communicate information. But I still feel that, you know, one-on-one talks, one-on-one conversations, you know, the most the best thing you can give, you know, athletes, people you work with is time. So still, that's still a true standby is, you know, you need to develop those relationships with the kids. And obviously with Twitter and social media, you know, I'm fortunate to have some younger coaches on my staff that know that real well. And so we use all the platforms to publicize our program and, you know, the Facebook, the Twitter, to get things out about our program. But obviously still that human connection of talking is still something that I'm always going to do. But there are times that, yeah, you do communicate via Twitter through texting with kids and stuff. That's probably a big change for us. But still that one-on-one conversations, that'll never change for me.
I know, Coach, for you, a lot of what you attribute to helping you win this championship was the off season and what you guys do year-round in your lifting program. Could you talk to us a little bit first, you know, before we get into the practical side of it, just about the philosophy and objectives behind your off-season program? What is it that especially you're doing to get the kids to buy in? Because, you know, in high school, we're going to turn over, you know, a quarter of those kids every year. We got new kids coming in. It's a brand new dynamic. So just because did something last year doesn't mean it's going to be the same this year.
Well, the theme of our program is unity, family, brotherhood. So culturally, we've kind of just developed that if you're not out for another sport, you know, your sport's the weight room. Every night, there's anywhere from 3 to 5 coaches that volunteer their time or are paid weight room coaches in our school. And, you know, we look at that as an opportunity to build relationships with our kids by us being in there with them. And then we're in there, the kids tend to be in there. You know, we try to make it into a fun environment. You know, we're almost kind of like their personal trainers, you know, working with them. And it's become a tradition now for us. I think our parents understand it. They know this is kind of how it is. If you're not out for a winter sport, you know, we've got a 4-day week program, and that's what you're, you know, you can't make it mandatory, but I think that our kids, have bought into that if they want to be a championship team, this is what we need to do. So we've been very fortunate that, you know, we get pretty close to, you know, 100% participation from our kids. And then in the summer, the whole group is in there in the morning as a team. And we just really say to the athletes, you know, you want to sweat together, you want to work out together and build relationships with your teammates. And some guys, we work on the leadership skills of kids encouraging each other to workouts and motivating each other. So I think we've made it into a fun atmosphere, a positive atmosphere. I think kids take the lead of their coaches. You know, I'm in the weight room every day year round, you know, unless I've got a family conflict, but for the last 23 years, you know, that's kind of been my second home, and that's where I build the relationships. And I think when you know, they say kids take on the persona of their coaches. And so if the coach is in there, then they're going to be in there. And once they get in that second, third week of lifting, you know, they see the muscles start popping and they start lifting them a little bit more weight. You know, they start getting kind of addicted to it and just becomes a routine thing, like brushing your teeth. I'm going to do it every day. And that's just a pillar of our program. And, you know, we're very fortunate in our community and our parents, you know, they want to be successful, and they know that in football, they've got to lift weights and work on their speed and agility to be great football players. So we've got really just tremendous buy-in from our players and our families.
Coach, in that 4-day a week program, because you did mention more than just the lifting, that it is the speed and agility part of it. Well, how do you guys work that, you know, throughout the year? How are you working on all phases of that?
So we use what's called the National Strength and Conditioning Association program, you know, mm-hmm. research-based by the top, you know, experts in that field. And so in the winter, we have a 12-week program, and the first 4 weeks, it's more of our power program. We're mostly doing sets of 10 on all the lifts. I think clean and deadlift, we only do sets of 5, but week 5, and it's all percentage based. And then week 5, we start doing sets of 5 of everything. And it's different each week. You do different percentages based on what your max was. And we include then that starts our speed and agility program. It's a twice a week program. And then week 7 turns into a 4-day week program. So now you're lifting and you're also doing your speed, agility, plyometrics. And so then spring, we have the same program. And then summer, it's usually have about a 6 week summer till football. And we kind of start in week 7 with those guys right away, where they're doing the 4 days a week speed, agility, and lifting program. So, you know, some years in winter and spring, we may just do speed and agility just twice a week just to keep them fresh. But in summertime, we do it 4 days a week. You know, it's getting closer to football, and, you know, they don't have school, you know, all day either. So that's kind of worked out really good for us. We've had a real good success with it.
And you mentioned that your program understands, you know, the community understands the importance of your off-season program, I should say. And that being said, how do you work to keep your multi-sport athletes involved? Because I've seen lots of different ways to handle this. I don't know if I've landed on this as the best way yet, but I know that you have to treat those guys in a way that you can't necessarily take away from their season, but you still want them to remain a part of your team.
Yeah, that's what we do is if they're in basketball or wrestling, you know, that's their sport. So we don't – the philosophy we have is if you're not out for a sport, then we – you know, we have an expectation or, you know, I think we have a program culture, I should say, that, you know, you're going to be in the weight room. You know, our wrestling program has bought in, you know, they lift 2-3 days a week. Our basketball program lifts twice a week. Our track program has done a nice job of lifting. So most of our sports teams do lift in season. You know, obviously some do it better than others. Some of our kids too, sometimes they have practices later at night, like our basketball teams have to stagger their practice time. Sometimes our baseball teams need to do that. So there's some kids that are, you know, pretty motivated. They'll come in on their own and they'll do extra after school, you know, with us. And again, it's kind of been a cultural thing where kids, they know that that's a big component of our program. Most of our sports teams have bought in, but you know, I don't want the basketball coach bugging my football guys during football season. So I try to, you know, respect the other sport coaches. The only thing that, you know, we kind of push is make sure you guys are in there, you know, twice a week with your coach. And most of the coaches have bought in pretty good for us.
Coach, in looking at how then you move from your off season and into the season and taking all the work you've done out on the field, what are the philosophies behind your football program, especially in regards to what's going to happen on the practice field and on game day?
So for us, you know, I think every coach has to pick a style they want to be. And so for us, we run the wing T. It fits our kids really, really well. We just seem to have tough kids. You know, the wing T, you can get away with a little bit smaller linemen, especially a guard. So we just happen to have a lot of kids that maybe aren't quite fast enough to be running backs, but they can be all conference, all state guards with all the pulling we do. We like our offense because it's a shared system. We mix it up between our three backs and our quarterback. So actually we become a four back attack. And then we still got our play action passes. And, you know, we have a series of plays that all look the same. So if a team is stopping one part of one play, we can run the companion plays. If someone's cheating to stop a player on defense, we've got an answer for pretty much whatever they're trying to, you know, if they're cheating on something, if they're jumping inside, you know, we run the belly play, the off tackle play. And if the corner and safety start biting inside, you know, we'll fake our belly and we call it our belly sweep. And, you know, if the backside linebackers are flying hard, then we'll run a counter off our belly. And if the, you know, if the DBs are creeping up, we're going to run our belly pass stuff. And we've got a couple different series, our belly series, our jet series, and our sweep series, and kind of an answer in all those different areas. And I think for us, we focus the most on us working on getting – we're super detail oriented with, you know, making sure we use the correct step and make sure that our kids know exactly on every type of scheme. They know who to block. And then defensively, we're a 3-3 stack team. And what we like about that is we can move our linebackers around a little bit and we can only switch maybe one or two assignments. A different linebacker could blitz, but everyone else is doing the same thing. So we kind of become maybe a little harder to run the ball or throw the ball against us, because we give them different looks with our third linebacker. And again, focusing more on us and getting better at what we do. Offensively too, we do a lot of shifting, a lot of different formations, different motions. So just some, window dressing, but to still run our core plays. So that's kind of our philosophies, I guess, in O&D.
It's funny because the wing T kind of is becoming in vogue, at least the concepts of it. You see it more and more, even at the NFL level. You see it at the college level. I think Gus Malzahn brought a lot of that to, the FBS, especially, what he's done here at Auburn. So you hear guys interested in that quite a bit, and they're concepts that have been around a long time. And I agree with you. Like, I really always liked the look-alike aspect of, what you can do with a play series, that it's going to be an inside run, an outside run, and a play action the other way, just thinking
or a counter.
Just thinking of the Buck series, right? And
exactly.
And you see more and more teams starting to look at those because it's a sound way to attack a defense. I mean, tempo was and still is a big tool for offenses because they didn't have time to adjust. You're lining up, you're making them play vanilla, but at the same point now, you're getting guys to react and you're getting them out of place with some of the lookalike plays.
Exactly. And in Wisconsin, there's not a lot of wing T teams. So the other thing that's become a real advantage for us, and I think what's helped us, be successful, is everybody's in the spread. So when they play us, they've had their scout team running this, spread offense for 5 weeks or 6 weeks, 10 weeks, whatever it is. And then all of a sudden they got to face a wing T team and they got to get their kids to mimic that in 4 days. And so we feel like that's been a huge advantage for us as well. And we know it inside and out, and our coaches know it, our players know it. We have our youth program running it. So we kind of have our own identity. Like, people know us for our wing T, people know Muskego for doing that. So that's kind of another nice, program pillar that, we have a certain identity of who we are. And like you said, the Buck series, you've got the inside trap, the off tackle sweep, the counter off the sweep, and then the play action. So there's always an answer for whatever they're doing. I mean, unless they're just physically better than you, there's always companion plays that you can run. And so if they're cheating to stop something, you've got the other companion plays that works. And that's why I love the offense. I also love it because we share the ball. So all three of our backs and our quarterback are all running the football. And so you can't just say, well, we're going to focus on a tailback or one guy. We mix up who gets the ball. And each week it just seems like a different athlete leads our team in rushing, because 1 week they might want to stop the fullback game and it opens up our tailbacks. And then the next week they might want to stop our outside game, opens up our inside stuff with our fullback. And, and sometimes they're going to put 11 guys in the box and all of a sudden our quarterback has a big game because, we can run our play action. So we have an answer for everything, and it all looks in the backfield similar. And we really push the faking. Like, we just fake really, really well. And we tell our kids one fake is worth two blocks, and you'll literally see it on film. And sometimes four guys will fall for a fake, so, cause we want everything to look the same in the backfield. So it's been, the last 9 years, we've averaged 35 points per game, and we play in the best conference in the state, and we're in the highest division. And so we've been very successful running that system.
Coach, you won the Wisconsin Football Coaches Association Green Bay Packers Coach of the Year Award. I really liked your quote about that award, and you called it a Staff of the Year Award, but also in the way you think about it, it's a community award, because – you're building this from your youth program on up. You guys are involved in helping things from first grade through 12th grade and creating within your community a community of coaches, that they're all connected to what you do.
Yeah, it's ironic that you bring it up. Today is our Wisconsin Coaches Clinic, and I was asked to be a presenter. And one of my topics today was about, championship, how we won our championship. And the first thing I talked about today was our youth program. And I feel in 2019, youth sports is so I don't know if crazy is the right word, but it's so intense now, the expectations. And I feel that the more the high school coach and the high school staff is connected with the youth program, the better the high school is going to be. And I feel like we've got the best youth program in the state. And I know we do a great job of meeting with our youth coaches. We have clinics with these guys. We have camps with these guys. You know, we consider them part of our coaching staff. We have the pictures of our youth teams in our game program. We have a youth night with our youth kids. You know, youth football is great because the kids are playing football maybe for 8 more years before high school. But, you know, the scary part is that's 8 seasons where maybe a kid may quit if he has a bad experience. So we try to really work on coaching character with our youth coaches and talk about the correct ways to coach the kids. And we're really big on, but we get all of our youth coaches are actually USA certified. They'll have to be, you know, do those tests and watch the videos. And, you know, we're really big on the safety aspect as well. So I really feel that as our youth program has gotten stronger, our high school has gotten stronger. And I think we've been consistently winning because our youth program is symbolic with us. We're together. And it's, and I think the teams or programs that aren't involved are youth teams. I think they're inconsistent. They might have a good year because they got some special players, but they don't consistently do well. Well, we've had some consistency here for about 9 years. And I think it's one of the huge reasons is just we're connected with our youth. And we tell them we're a first through 12th grade program. We're not a high school program that we consider our first grade coaches, fifth grade coaches. Whatever grade it is, they're part of our coaching staff, you know, and we're all in it together.
Coach, that's not always an easy thing to do. As you well know, as coaches, we wear a lot of hats and we have a lot of demands, especially if we're a teacher in the classroom as well.
Yep.
How are you able to make that work and to dedicate the time and, you know, giving those the guys the knowledge, making sure they're all on the same page as you and keeping that running smoothly without detracting from what you're doing or, you know, burning yourself out, I guess, the other aspect of it.
You know, I think in the beginning, it's a lot of work. You know, I look at what I did 11 years ago and it takes a lot of work in the beginning. And then one thing I've done a lot more recently, cause I do have 4 sons myself. I'm you know, inactive in sports and activities is you need to delegate some things. I think that I've done a good job of divvying up some jobs and I try not to give any jobs away that would affect us in the win loss column. But, you know, there are certain things you can give away to your assistant coaches. But maybe, you know, I read something where if somebody can do what you did at an 80% rate, it's worth having them do it. So, you know, you're right. You know, you have a teaching job and you have a family. So, you know, I think in 2019, especially at a big high school, you have to mentally know it's a year-round commitment and you have to have a very understanding wife. And you also got to make sure you got time for her too, as well. And it's a constant thing I work on, you know, keeping that balance. I'm fortunate. I think the longer you coach and you create a culture, then you may not have to do as many of those meeting type things because things start to run themselves. And some of my youth coaches will mentor the new youth coaches as well, because now guys have ran our system. So then some of those guys can meet with those guys and give them some advice. And so, but it is work. And so I think, you know, for me, I don't really have any hobbies sort of. I think my hobby is coaching. So, you know, I don't deer hunt, I don't fish. And I think if you're going to be head coach, you know, that sometimes becomes, you gotta give up a couple things, but if you love doing it, then it's there's nothing wrong with that.
Coach, your road to a championship ended with a game against the 4-time defending state champ in Division I in Wisconsin, the biggest division. So that in and of itself is a huge accomplishment. You know, that team has been successful for a long time. They're known nationally and certainly had a kind of a stranglehold on that championship. What did it take for you guys and how did this team, I guess, do something special to be able to take that championship?
I could talk for about 10 hours. I'll tell you about that. You know, to win state is just, I say, like, thousands of things have to happen. And so it started 11 years ago. You know, we first took over the program. You know, we talked about the youth program, getting them to, you know, when we first took over, they weren't maybe running the high school stuff. They didn't have a lot of numbers. So we've improved our youth program. We have multiple teams to every grade. We have it where 20 to 22 kids start in every team. We have two teams in fifth through eighth. So you've got, our numbers have grown. You know, we talked about the off season program. You know, our culture is, if they're not for a sport, they're in the weight room. And then in the summer, everybody's in the weight room. So we've become a very strong team, a fast team, having a great coaching staff. I'm really fortunate. I have a lot of former players that coach for me. We've got a lot of guys that played for our high school. So their pride is really strong because they went there or they were in the program. So they understand what the program is about. They're very loyal. We have a very strong, you know, our parent group is very good. You know, they're good at helping us out with just all the little things to make our program a little extra special. You know, you have to have a good administration. We're very fortunate. Our administration is very, very supportive of our program. So those are like the big things. And there's just a lot of other little things as well. But, you know, having a great youth program, having a good off-season program, having a good coaching staff, having a community that's really supportive, administration, all those things. And we've just been building and building. And so we've been knocking on the door, and we finally broke through, you know. And one thing we do a good job of is we really focus on us. You know, we work more on making sure we're getting better at what we do. And then things will take care of itself when we play these really good teams, you know. And I think we're somewhat simple in what we do, but we're honestly perfect at it. But it's very rare that we would ever block the wrong guy or do the wrong assignment on offense or defense, because we really focus on what, you know, we're very attention to detail orientated with what we do.
Well, Coach, I really appreciate you sharing your coaching journey and the way you guys have been able to take your program to a state championship. What's the best way for coaches out there, our listeners, to get in touch with you and maybe learn more about what you do?
You just send an email, Kenneth, K-E-N-N-E-T-H .Krause, K-R-A-U-S-E, @ Muskego, M-U-S-K-E-G-O, Norway, like the country, N-O-R-W-A-Y.org. I mean, someone could send me an email and we can always connect, you know, through email and I exchange phone numbers. But, you know, I've had a lot of people pay it forward and help me through the career. So, yeah, obviously, you know, people reach out. You know, myself and our staff is always willing to help people out. You know, it's all about the kids in the end. It's high school sports. I mean, we all want to win, but in the end, we're also trying to, you know, keep kids making good choices, staying out of trouble, doing, you know, and football teaches you so many life lessons, and sometimes you don't learn those lessons in the classroom. That's what sports, it's kind of the real world, especially football. So if anybody has any questions, we'd love to, you know, share information with anyone.
Well, Coach, I really appreciate you taking the time, and best of luck to you and your program in 2019.
Yeah, thanks for having us. It's a nice honor. I've listened to some of your podcasts. I know my defensive coordinator is a big with doing that as well, Coach Lucchese. So we definitely enjoy. We you know, when you asked earlier about, you know, how'd you win state, you know, you have to continue to keep learning. I think if you're going to be a leader, you got to keep learning. And, you know, your program is something that we've utilized as well as coaches here at our high school. So thank you.
I appreciate that, Coach. Coach Krause shared his presentation with us, and we'll put some of that in show notes. It's on, as he mentioned, developing a youth football program and practice planning. If you enjoyed this, feel free to shoot him an email and thank him for taking the time to be on the podcast, as well as ask him any questions. He's open to that. The email is in our show notes, which is blogs.usafootball.com. Check out everything we're doing on our Twitter handle, @ FBDEVCoach. Check out our systems for advanced tackling, blocking, defeating blocks, as well as our free shoulder tackle system. That's at footballdevelopment.com. If you're enjoying the podcast and getting something from it, please take a minute to give us a 5-star rate on iTunes. And if you have a minute, write a review. It helps the podcast.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.